Acts chapter 27, we've visited this passage of Scripture many times, but I felt the Lord leading me back this morning. Adam read it, some of it, but it talks about there was 276 people on a boat in the middle of a hurricane. And I want you to listen to how the Bible describes what was going on. I'm going to go back to Acts 27, start reading in verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroctriton. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Here were 275 people. I'll talk about the 276th one in a minute. But 275 people on the ship in the middle of the hurricane that were filled with despair. They were discouraged. All their hope was gone. They had nothing to feel good about. They thought before too much longer they would all die. The ship would capsize, they'd be caught up in the storm, and they were all drowned. The 276th person that was on that ship was a man of God. He was a prisoner, and he was on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar for a crime that they could not figure out what to charge him with. I mean, the Roman governor that sent him called the Jewish king in and says, I'm going to send this guy to Caesar, but I don't know what to charge him with. And I think even if you, after you read chapter 26 of Acts, he still didn't have anything to charge him with, but he sent him to Rome. And he stood up in the middle of this storm, and he said, as Adam read a moment ago, take heart, don't worry. I've been with a messenger from God tonight, and he has told me that we're all going to make it. Now, the boat's going to be destroyed, and we're going to have to do a little bit of swimming to get to shore. And you'll, I don't think he said that, but that's over there in the last part of the chapter. But if you over there in the last part of Acts chapter 27, and the Bible says that all 276 people made it safely to shore. This group of people that was lost without any hope, that were full of despair, that were discouraged, that had no way of, had no idea. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. There was nothing that they could take hope in. They made it. Now, I want to tell you this morning that there are a lot of people that feel that same way. It's always been amazing to me this time of year when we should be happy and joyous that there are many, many people that this is the worst time of year for them. This is a time of year when they are sadder than any time of year. This is a time of year when they hurt more than any time of year. Now, some of it is because of their circumstances. We have some in our church like this. They've lost a loved one in the recent months. Or they have a medical condition that they're fighting, or they've lost their job, or the job they have doesn't provide for their family, and they are discouraged and they are down. Other people feel that way because of what's going on in the world. I mean, we're still at war, and the economy is shaky, and terrorism is still alive and well. And so they are in despair because of that. Others, because of just the way they look at life. There are some people that, regardless of what's going on in their life, have the Eeyore complex. Woe is me. Ain't nothing going to work out right. They have the Murphy's Law complex. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. They have the glasses half empty complex. They're pessimists, and they always look at, regardless of what's going on in their life, and say, there is no hope. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I will tell you, there's three people that are on my heart this morning that are members of our church that that phrase in the last part of chapter or verse 20 of chapter 27, where it says, "And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." There's three people that I have on my mind right now, and I can call, I won't call their names, but they feel exactly that way. They don't know what they're going to do. Something's happening in their life, and the hopes and the dreams that they have has have been shattered. And I want to say to you and to them this morning, like Paul said to the other 275 people that were in that ship with him, be of good cheer. Take heart. There is hope. I've heard from God this week. It wasn't from an angel. I've heard from this messenger right here, the Bible. I don't know how long the angel spent with Paul. Maybe it was just a few minutes. Maybe it was up to an hour. I don't know. He doesn't say. But I'll tell you, I've spent hours with my messenger this week. And I want to say the same thing that Paul did. The message that I got from my Lord this week is that we can take hope. We can be of good cheer because it will happen exactly the way God says it's going to happen. Now, Paul's message was, hey, I know we're in the middle of a hurricane and I know it doesn't look very bright for us right now, but we're going to make it. The ship is going to be destroyed, but all 276 of us are going to make it to shore. God told me. And I believe that that's exactly what God's going to do. I got some messages from God this week too. And, you know, don't need to say, oh, preacher, you just had some bad pizza one night and you got some messages. No. The messages I got from God in this book are messages that are repeated over and over and over and over again in this book. Not just one time. They're throughout the pages of this book. They are promises that God made to us. And I'll say like Paul this morning, we can be of good cheer because it will turn out and be exactly like God said it was going to be in his promises. We talked a little bit about in Sunday school, we make promises to one another and for some reason or another we forget or circumstances come up and we can't keep those promises. I'm glad we got a God that is in control of the circumstances and I'm glad we got a God that will keep every promise that he's made in this book. He always has, he always will. There will not be one promise of God that will not be fulfilled. Most of us here this morning are looking forward to that promise where Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's a promise that's not going to change. That's a promise that will be kept one day, either by way of the rapture or by way of death. If you're saved this morning, we'll go to heaven and live forever with God. It's going to be just like God said. Could I share with you for the next couple minutes some of the promises that God will keep? One of the sweetest ones of all is found in a verse that most of you can quote, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Be of good cheer. It's going to happen exactly like God said it's going to happen. That verse says, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to perish, but we can have everlasting life. You see, we all need that promise because we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the penalty of that sin, as it's taught to us in the Bible, is death, is separation from God. For the wages of sin is death. But the story that we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning, the story that was contained in all the songs that we sang this morning, the story that's on every page of this book, is that we have a God who loves us. And he didn't wait till we got better. He loved us when we were sinners. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And the promise of John 3:16, if we will believe that and receive it to ourselves, we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to perish. We don't have to be separated from God. We can go and we can be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And you just keep on going because it doesn't end. It will last forever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Heaven will last forever. And the promise from God is if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go to heaven. You don't have to perish. Be of good cheer. I believe God that it will happen just like He said it would happen. You know, I could quit right now. I could quit right now. I won't, but I could quit right now. And we could go home. And that would be enough of a message. I don't care what your circumstances are this morning. I don't care that the light has gone out at the end of your tunnel. I don't care if you have no hope. If you belong to Jesus Christ this morning, if you know for sure that your sins are under the blood, if you know for sure that you have been forgiven by God, I don't care what's going on in your life, you have a blessed hope. That should give you cheer. That should give you cheer. But God doesn't stop there. He goes on. There's a promise in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where the Bible says, talking about itself, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The promise of that verse is if we'll stay in this book, if we'll read this book, if we'll meditate in this book, if we'll keep this book on our heart and our mind, the Bible says, and be obedient to it. And be obedient to it. It's not enough just to read it. It's not enough just to meditate on it, but be obedient to it. Live by it. God says, I'll make your way prosperous and you'll be of good success. You know, last month, from a worldly perspective, has been pretty shaky. Stock market's gone down. People are losing their homes because they can't make their payments. The big banks are in trouble, and one of them got a big infusion of cash from Saudi Arabia or someplace over there this week just to help keep it afloat. But I was thinking yesterday afternoon and last night as I was thinking about this morning, in the last month, our God hasn't lost a thing. Hey? Huh? His account still has everything that it had in it before the month of November started. He still owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. And his coffers are still full and he can still keep this promise. You see, we get all caught up in how the world thinks. Prosperity and success is not measured in dollars. In fact, I think it's a pretty poor measurement of prosperity and success. The prosperity and success that God is talking about is the blessings that come from Him. He said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And I know there's people that say, well, God, He doesn't know what I need. He's too busy running things. He doesn't have the time to look at me, and He has no idea of what I need. Could I remind you what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." You listen to me, you listen to me, and you listen good. We have a God in heaven that knows each one of us as individuals, and He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly. It's not just a place to live, not just something to wear, not just something to eat. He knows what you need in your heart and in your soul and in your emotions and in your being. He knows what you need. And that verse says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all, listen, I like these little words in the Bible. And all these things shall be added unto you. Wherefore, be of good cheer, because I believe that God's going to do exactly what he said. Number three, I got to hurry. There's a precious promise that we've claimed of late in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. That promise says, if you'll call unto me, to God, I'll answer, and I'll show you things that you haven't even thought about. I remember when we studied the book of Psalms, we talked about prayer in one of the Psalms. And one of the Psalms taught us that when we pray, sometimes we can put it into words. And we can express to God in our words what we need and what we want and what we think we need. Sometimes we can't put it into words, but we can form the thoughts in our mind. And the Bible teaches us that even though we may not be able to express it in words, God knows what's in our hearts and our minds. And as we pray in our hearts and our minds, he'll hear that prayer and answer it. And then we learn that sometimes we can't, not only can we not put it into words, we can't even put it into thoughts. We get in circumstances where we don't know what to ask for, not only not in words, but we don't know what to ask for in our hearts and in our minds. Because we get into situations and circumstances that we don't know what to do. We have no idea how to make it through. And so the Bible talks about that is when we cry, when we weep, not even knowing what to think about, not even knowing what to ask. But then when we get to those points in our life, and many of us have been there at times, when we get to those points in our life where we can't put it into words and we can't think and we just weep, God says, I'll hear that cry and I will give you things that you don't even think about. Great and mighty things thou knowest not. I'm so glad of God that we've got a God that when we can't see the answer, he knows the answer. When we can't see the solution, he's already got it worked out. When we can't see how we're going to make it through, he knows. He knows. Be of good cheer. I believe God will do just exactly what he said. And then number four, a promise that sometimes we don't think so much about as a promise, but it nevertheless is a promise. We think about it more as a command, but it contains a precious promise. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Did you catch the promise? Jesus said, hey, you go out and tell people about me. You tell them that they need a Savior. You tell them that they need to have their sins forgiven and washed away. And that I'll do that for them. And then you teach them. You teach them to get baptized. Teach them to join a church. Teach them the Bible. All things that we know, we're supposed to teach others. And he said this, if you'll do that, I will be with you always. Always. You know, I have a job that takes me out of town, and I know some of you guys can identify, Dave can identify, and some of the other ones that drive a truck. It takes me out of town 3 or 4 weeks out of the month. And most of the nights that I'm out of town, sometimes I go to dinner with the manager of the plant, but many of the nights I'm by myself. And I've come to the conclusion that that's one of the good things that I'm looking forward to about retirement. I don't have to be by myself. I can stay home. But sometimes it gets pretty lonesome when you're by yourself, as I'm sure these guys can back me up and say that. When you're away from everybody you love, when you have people you know in town, but you don't spend time with them. I'm glad that God promised us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I think about some parents that I talked to this week. They told me, we're not going to have anything more to do with our son. He's dishonored us. He's done some things that we just can't tolerate. We're just going to pretend he doesn't exist. And I talked to him about that. I said, you know, I know he's disappointed you. The things he's done are wicked. Are wicked. But he is your son. I wish I could say about us all as Christians that we never disappoint God. That we never let him down. That we never do anything that would be displeasing to him. I can't even say that about myself, let alone you. I can't say it about myself. But you know what? I'm glad we have a God that will never leave us or forsake us. We're in his family for good. Once a child, always a child. So be of good cheer. I believe that God will do it just like he said. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these precious...